pray.
Let's pray. Not pray. Let's pray. Yes, Lord, thank you. We've got your word, and it is your word, Lord. And we just pray you bless it to our hearts as we share together. Lord, just minister to us as we look once again at these amazing things in your word. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord, for a sense of humour.
Amen to that, yes. We need that as well. Okay. Well, I suggest we don't read. Is that all right? Then we might make a bit more progress on that one. Is that all right?
Yes,
don't mind.
Yes, go on.
So before you go to Joel chapter 2, turn to Deuteronomy 28. Deuteronomy 28, verse 33. Just testing you out, you know. Deuteronomy 28, verse 38.
38, 38.
Correct?
I'm not going to say
it, but it's the reality. Right. Now, this is by Moses, and this was written, nearly 900 years before Joel. Yeah? It's a prophecy, a prophetic warning, verse 28. If you don't behave yourself, this is what's going to happen. 38. You will sow much seed in the field, but you will harvest little, because locusts will devour it. So I suspect Joel was reading his Bible and going, that's why. Yes, we've been disobedient. That's what it's about.
Can we have the sound effect again?
Chapter 2 then. We've got to chapter 2 and we're going to read it. Blow the trumpet in Zion. He's saying, sound a warning. Yep. Sound the alarm on my holy hill. Let all who live in the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming. It is close at hand. The day of the Lord is the time of the final judgment of God, but this is one of the judgments of God, and it's a pointer to the end, of course. And he says it's not very good. It's a day of darkness and gloom, a day of clouds and blackness, like dawn spreading across the mountains, like a large and mighty army comes, such as never was of old, nor will there be in ages to come. So what's coming over the hills? It's the locusts. The locusts. Described as an enemy, but these aren't human enemies, they're locusts, physical locusts, and we'll see why. I mean, there are differences in interpretation on this one, I'm sure you're aware. Some think that the locusts are a picture of the foreign armies, invading armies, but I'm not entirely convinced of that, for two reasons, as you'll see one later on, is they climb through the windows. Armies don't usually do that. And the other is that nobody's killed, and that's
also says Christ is at the,
or some, the Lord's at the head of him as well.
Yeah.
Yes,
well,
yes.
At the head
yes.
Of the enemies.
Well, exactly. Yeah, although he can use enemies. Yeah. He calls Babylon later on his rod.
Right.
Yeah. But anyway, what have we called? Verse 3. Before them fire devours, behind them a flame blazes. It looks like it's all burning because they're hopping around so much, I guess. That's the idea. Before them the land is like the Garden of Eden. That's what Harold described, the field. Yeah? Yeah, all beautiful, fresh, lush. Mm. Behind them, a desert waste. Mm. Nothing escapes them. They've eaten the lot. Yeah. Mm. They have the appearance of horses. Mm. Is that right?
Huge.
Yeah. Have you ever looked a locust in the face?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah?
They're a bit smaller.
Bit smaller. They look like horses. Not, they're not horses, yeah?
In German. Am I right in saying it's called a
hay horse?
Hay horse.
Yes, mm. Yeah. I think that's hair, yeah. Yeah.
What, they've got long heads?
They've got, yes, long heads. Yes, yeah. Big eyes, yeah. They look a bit like horses, yeah. Okay. You'll have to Google them.
Have a look. Yeah,
yeah. Right. Yes, they have the appearance of horses. They gallop along like cavalry. They're pretty shift movers, yeah. With a noise like that of chariots, they leap over the mountain tops. So they can move, yeah. They've got nice bouncy legs, but they fly as well, that's the other thing. Like crackling fire consuming stubble, like a mighty army drawn up for battle. So he's using all these military images, mm-hmm, yeah, because the effect is just as bad as if an army went through. Mm-hmm. Yeah. At the sight of them, nations are in anguish, every face turns pale. They charge like warriors, they scale walls like soldiers, they all march in line, not swerving from their course. They do not jostle each other, each marches straight ahead. They plunge through defences without breaking ranks. They rush upon the city, they run along the wall, they climb into the houses, like thieves they enter through the windows. So wherever you are, locusts are on to you. Yeah? There's no escape. That's where they're going, everywhere. Yeah. Before them the earth shakes, So if you look at them coming, it's, there's so many, the ground is moving, it looks like it, yeah? And the sky trembles, because the sky's full of these things as well, of course, yeah? The sun and moon are darkened, and the stars no longer shine. Yeah?
Covering the whole sky.
So they've darkened the skies, yes? But the thing that's important is that this passage about locusts is bigger than locusts, because it's talking about the day of the Lord.
Yeah.
And it's using this as an image of God's judgments as well. And I've got two verses for you. Ephesians 13 verse 10, talking about the sun and the moon being darkened. If you have a look at Isaiah 13 10. Did I say Ezekiel?
Ephesians.
Well, isn't that strange? Why did I say Ephesians? I do not know. Isaiah 13:10. Yeah, it was close, wasn't it? It's in the Bible. Isaiah 13 verse 10 says, the stars of heaven and their constellations will not show their light. Oh, well, verse 9. See, the day of the Lord is coming, a cruel day with wrath and fierce anger, to make the land desolate and destroy sinners in it. The stars of heaven and their constellations will not show their light. The rising sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. I will punish the world for its evil and the wicked for their sins. That's not a locust plague. That's judgment. Yeah. You have the same in Ezekiel, but I'll dodge that one. Go to Matthew 24 verse 29. This is the words of our Lord himself. Matthew 24 verse 29. Mm. Yeah. And again, it's talking of verse 26 here. If anyone tells you, here he is, out in the desert, don't go out. Or here he is in the inner rooms, do not believe it. For as lightning that comes from the east is visible from the west, so will the coming of the Son of Man. Wherever there's a carcass, there the vultures will gather. Immediately after the distress of those days, the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give its light, the stars will fall from the sky, and the heavenly bodies will be shaken. Wow. So in other words, the coming of the Son of Man brings the judgment, and that's one of the signs of it. Lights out. Yeah? Okay?
You imagine that when he comes it was going to be
terrifying. Terrifying for non-believers. Mm. I must add that, because you're going to see God makes a serious distinction between those that trust him and those that don't.
Mm.
Yeah? But for the non-believer, this is not a happy sight.
Mm.
Yeah? And in fact, in Revelation they say, all rocks fallen as hide us from the wrath of the Lamb. Mm. And so on. Yeah. Okay. Yes, we're on to verse 11 now, aren't we? We're back into Joel. The Lord thunders at the head of his army. It's the voice of God speaking, really, through it all. His forces are beyond number, and mighty are those who obey his command. The day of the Lord is great, it is dreadful. Who can endure it? Yeah. Who can stand before God's wrath? None. And Jeremiah says the same thing. There's a verse in chapter 10 there in Jeremiah. Says, who can stand before the wrath of God? Nobody can.
No.
Yeah. You're talking about power. Yeah. So that's the locusts. We've got the locusts. Now we're on to the practical response to that. So, even now, while it's the 11th hour, last minute, the locusts are heading your way if they've not arrived already, even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting and weeping and mourning. What's he calling for them to do? Get back right with them. Not necessarily get saved. That there may be believers amongst this lot who've gone off the rails.
Oh, yes.
Yeah? Get right with God. Because he wants them to return with all their heart. This is Deuteronomy again. What did God say in Deuteronomy chapter 6? Hear, O Israel, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart. Well, he's saying here that they're not doing that. No. Return to me with all your heart. Well, it means return. They've gone away.
Yeah.
Yeah. Rend, verse 13 now. Yep. Yeah. Yeah. I've got another verse that I think is one that always strikes me as really quite relevant. It's in Acts chapter 26, verse 20. God's calling for them to return to him with fasting and weeping and mourning. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Means they mean it. And they show they mean it.
26.
In Acts 26, this is a great verse. I recommend you learn this one. This is Paul's Gospel. Acts 26, verse 20, I think it is. He's telling the king, King Agrippa, about what his experience was. Yeah? And he says, "So then, King Agrippa," this is verse 19, "I was not disobedient to the vision from heaven. First to those in Damascus, and then to those in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and to the Gentiles also, I preached," this is his message, "that they should repent and turn to God and prove their repentance by their deeds." Mm-hmm. It's no good saying, "I've signed the card, I've made a decision." If it don't show in your life, it's not real. That's what he's getting at, yeah? You repent and you prove it. And that's what Joel is saying is, turn to the Lord with all your heart and show you mean it, fasting, weeping, mourning, and it's not crocodile tears we want, it's genuine repentance. That's what he's after, yeah? Verse 13, "Rend your heart and not your garments." What were they, when it was a time of mourning, what was the custom amongst the Israelites? To tear their clothes. It's a very expensive way of mourning, but there you are, that's how they do it, yeah? Tear their clothes, yeah? And he's saying is, "I don't want the outward sign. It's no good doing the garment stuff. I want the inside bit. Rend your hearts, not your garments." Yeah. Real, real repentance. "Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and compassionate." Yeah. "Slow to anger and abounding in love, he relents from sending calamity." Joel is telling us here, you know, if you turn back to God, God's the kind of God that's willing to forgive. Slow to anger, he doesn't lose it immediately, you've messed up. He's gracious, he's compassionate and all that, abounding in love, and he relents from sending calamity. He'll stop sending the calamity if you repent of it. And then this is a great verse, verse 14, "Who knows, he may turn and have pity and leave behind a blessing." Who knows?
We know, we don't know.
Yeah? We don't know. Well, we do know. I mean, what he's just told them is, it's the who knows there isn't really if or maybe. If you're a believer in God's word, then you could say to God, "Lord, I know I've failed, I know I've made mistakes, I know I've sinned terribly, but you say, if I genuinely repent of this, you'll bless me." And so you go to the Lord and say, "Lord, I know who knows. You know, and you can do it." Yeah. There's another example of that, although it's a bit more on the who knows uncertainty side, when Jonah turned up at Nineveh. You remember how Jonah was told by God, "Tell the Ninevites, 40 more days, and the end of game," right? Finished. And what does the king of Nineveh do? He calls a national fast, amongst one thing, but he says, "Who knows? God might, this God of Israel, may relent and have mercy on us. He's heard about him."
Yes.
Yeah? And what's Jonah's response when God doesn't destroy them? Jonah says, "I knew it! I knew you might have offered their repentance!" Yeah? Because that's the kind of God God is. Yeah? And the king of Nineveh got it.
Yes.
Yeah? And this is what this is. Joel is saying is, look, who knows? I can tell you. He will forgive. He will be merciful if you repent. And so he's saying, "And will he not leave behind a blessing?" What kind of blessing? "Grain offerings and drink offerings for the Lord your God." What he's saying there is, you'll have food and food to spare in order to make the offerings that you should make in the house of God.
Yeah. Restoration.
It's restoration, yeah. God can do it. I mean, the locusts can wipe out everything.
Yeah.
God can create new seeds if he needs to. I mean, it's not a problem for God. Yeah. So you got the idea. He's telling them, turn back, and things are going to be okay. And then we get it all here. He repeats himself because it's a message you've got to get in stereo. "Blow the trumpet in Zion." That means wake up everybody. Yeah? "Declare a holy fast. Call a sacred assembly." What are they going to do?
Come together.
Come together. Seek God.
I find it interesting that it's not an individual thing.
No, it's national.
We do it together.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. This is church, isn't it?
Yes, yeah. Mm-hmm. God's people together, I mean the individuals are called to repent and all that, but coming together to seek God is an important thing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
We all have different things to bring.
Mm. Mm. That's good, yeah. So, the priest are told, gather the people, consecrate the assembly, bring together the elders, gather the children, those nursing at the breast, Let the bridegroom leave his room and the bride her chamber. Nobody's exempt. You can't say, I just got married, I can't come. No good, you're coming. Right, yeah, right. Let the priests who minister before the Lord weep between the porch, temple porch and the altar. Get all the people together, get them up at the temple, get them seeking God in repentance and asking God for mercy, and the priests are leading the service. That's how it worked in those days. The priests led the worship and the services. And where are the priests placed? Between the temple porch and the altar. What does that mean? Do you know your structures of the temple?
Yeah.
Whereabouts? Let me take you in. You're not a Gentile now, you're a Jew, so I can take you all the way inside, right? You're okay, yeah? You go through the gate into the main quadrangle area, right? And smack in front of you is the altar. The altar for burnt offerings, yeah? After the altar of burnt offerings, you go past that, you come right up next to the door of the actual temple itself, right? Well, it's into the temple, and then the Holy of Holies is at the back. But the whole building with the doors is smack in front of you. What he's saying is, God's in there, you're at the back, and the priests are in the middle. They're interceding. That's what they've got to do. Yeah, so they're at the front door, calling on God. Yeah? That's what they've got to do. Priests who minister before the Lord weep between the temple porch and the altar. And let them say, so Joel tells them what they've got to say. Yeah? Let them say, spare your people, O Lord. Do not make your inheritance an object of scorn, a byword among the nations. Why should they say among the peoples, where is their God? So that's what they've got to pray. He's even told them how to pray. Yeah. Lord, spare your people. And he also says, why should they say among the nation peoples, where is their God? Well, it isn't being sarcastic. No, the people are being sarcastic who say it,
That's right.
Because they look... and in a way, they've got a right to say that, because they see this people, God's people, so-called, getting a lot of grief because of their sin, but they wouldn't know that, yeah? So this is God's people who aren't being blessed. And they could say, well, you call God your God, and he goes around blessing you. Well, I don't see much blessing for you now. Where is your God? So their assumption is there isn't one, I suppose. But that's what they're thinking. And so the priests are to come and say, and it comes in Psalm 115 as well, why should the nation say, where is their God? It's a plea to say, God, your reputation's at stake here. If you don't bless us, it was like when Moses came out of Egypt, and God said to Moses, get out of the way, Moses, I'm going to zap this lot, because I'm fed up with them, and I'll make a new nation out of you. And Moses said, Lord, you can't do it. Because if the Egyptians hear you doing that, they're going to say, he got them out, but he couldn't get them to the land.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? Your reputation's at stake, Lord. Why should the nations say, where is their God?
Yeah.
Lord, we want you to show them you're here. Mm-hmm. That's really what they're calling out. That's what the priests are doing. Yeah. So, verse 18, God gives him an answer. How about this? Then the Lord will be jealous for his land and take pity on his people. That's an encouragement, isn't it? Yeah. My translation says will. Have we got any other translations that say past tense? Then the Lord was jealous for his land.
Jealous.
Is it will be in yours? Yeah, okay. Well, basically, it is past tense, and he's really saying is God's already done it. Joel is writing from the view, either prophetically, looking back at what God's done, or whether it's happened already. I suspect that's more the case. God is their prayers worked. In other words, yeah? The Lord will reply, yeah? So, if you notice the notes in the NIV, down on verses 18 and 19, the Lord was jealous, took pity, replied. It's all past tense.
Yes.
And that, the idea being is that God's already spoken. Mm-hmm. And God's done it for the people. It worked, is what I'm getting at.
Yeah.
Now, what's going to happen is the Lord replied to them, I'm sending you... sending you grain, new wine and oil, enough to satisfy you fully. So what are you going to get?
Food and water.
He's going to provide the food again. Never again will you be an object of scorn to the nations. So the nations are going to see God's going to bless them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So he's removed their reproach, and then we find, I will drive, now, see what we make of this. I will drive the northern army far from you, pushing it into a parched land and a barren land. into a parched and barren land, with its front columns going into the eastern sea, and those in the rear into the western sea, and its stench will go up and its smell will rise. Who's the northern army?
Locusts.
The locusts. They've come over the hills, yes? They've joined, they've come from the north. Now then, God, he says, I'll drive them out. Okay. Where is he going to send them? He'll push them, now there's three groups, yeah? He'll push them into a parched and barren land. Yeah?
Yeah.
That's the desert bit.
Yeah.
Yeah? With its front columns, so that's the middle bit going into the desert.
Yeah.
The front bit, its columns are going into the eastern sea. Which is the eastern sea? The Dead Sea. We're in Israel now. The east of Israel is the Dead Sea. Right? And those in the rear into the western sea, the Mediterranean. Yes, you got it. So God's going to remove all these locusts in different ways and all. Some's going that way, some's going that way, and some's going the other way. But they're all going, that's the point. Yeah. And they're going to be so many of them rotting in the water, it says, its stench will go up and its smell will rise. I'm so glad you've had your dinners now. Right, yeah. It's going to be a bit whiffy, but it's proof they've gone, they're dead, they're not coming back.
They're dead about it.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Surely he has done great things. Now, who does that refer to? Does it refer to the locusts or the Lord? Well, in this instance, it refers to the locusts. And he's done great things means he's been a bad one. Right? Yeah. You can do great things on a good way or a bad way. The locusts have done bad things. Now the Lord's going to do great things which are good. As you'll see. Because it refers to the Lord is doing great things in the next bit, yeah? Be not afraid, O land. Be glad and rejoice. Yeah?
Yeah. He's got rid of them.
The land is blessed.
Yeah.
The land's blessed. Surely the Lord has done great things. You know who's doing it now.
Yeah.
It's the Lord now.
Yeah.
Whereas he with the locusts. Yeah.
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 Yeah. One little question. Some have raised this as an issue. I read it in one commentary. How can he blame locusts for doing bad things? Locusts aren't accountable, are they?
Yeah. Well, I think, don't they?
They're locusts. I mean, they're not moral creatures, yeah? But God judges them.
Yeah. Really? Because they've been destructive?
Because they've been destructive, yes. Mm. I mean, you find it in the time of Noah, when Noah says, if an animal kills somebody, the animal's got to die.
Yeah.
Yeah. And in the time of Israel, if you had animals on your farm, and the ox gored somebody, the ox has got to die.
Yeah.
It's responsible, in the sense. Yeah. Same with the locusts. They've caused a lot of trouble. God says they're responsible. Then they're going to die. They're out.
Yep.
It's his army. But he does the same. We'll see it later on with the Babylonians. When God says, it's in Habakkuk. Habakkuk says, Lord, it's terrible. What are you going to do about it? And God says, you watch. And he says, I'm sending the Babylonians. And they're going to beat the daylights out of this lot. And then Habakkuk says, Lord, you can't do that, they're worse than we are.
Mm.
And the Lord says, oh, I'll do it, he says, but when I finish with them, they're going to answer for what they do as well.
Mm-hmm.
So God isn't responsible for the evil they do, but he can make them manoeuvre as he wishes, yeah? Yeah, mystery, God's in charge, God's in charge. You can't beat God. Yeah.
Was that what he meant?
And he doesn't apologise for them either. He says, this is the response of the people because of what they've done.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is what's going to happen. Yeah. Yeah. God hates sin.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, let's go on. Not all animals.
All these descriptions.
Yeah.
Just sort of tell you that God knows all that information about everything as well.
Oh, absolutely.
Every single description.
Yes.
He's got, and the rhythm of the.
Well, he designed everything, so he knows. Yeah.
Scriptures and everything else gives the picture that adds to it, doesn't it?
Yes. Yeah. God's ultimately in charge of it all. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, verse 22.
He uses things.
Yeah.
Evil things, even for his glory.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
He can use evil things without the evil accruing to him.
Oh,
yes.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. Verse 22. Now if you're a deer or an ox, you're all right now. Be not afraid, O wild animals, for the open pastures are becoming green.
Oh,
the trees are bearing their fruit, and the fig tree and the vine yield their riches.
Mm-hmm.
What's happening is it's all growing again.
Yeah.
So God's blessing the creatures as well.
It's not how Harold left it.
Mm. It's not how Harold left it. No. God is restoring. That's the idea, yeah?
When you
be glad.
Barren.
So that's the creatures. The land's been blessed. We're going in order. The land's been blessed because it's growing stuff. The creatures have been blessed because they've got food to eat now. Then we get to the people. Yeah. Be glad. Be glad, O people of Zion. Rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has given you the autumn rains in righteousness. Now, here we are. This is a. He's really saying is God's blessed them materially. Yeah, but the autumn rains in righteousness are not what it's about. You may have it in your margin. He's given you the teacher of righteousness. Mm-hmm. You got that, yeah? And that's what it says. The teacher of righteousness. Well, there aren't any righteous rains. Yeah, it's rain or it's not rain. Yeah. Mm-hmm. A teacher. What he's really saying, I think this is what he's getting at, is God has not only blessed his people physically. We'll see that in the land and the restoring the food and all that. But he's going to bless them spiritually. Yeah. And he has blessed them by giving them a teacher of righteousness. Someone who's put them on the right road. Yeah, that was Joel, for example. That was Moses, for example. And of course, ultimately, the teacher of righteousness is going to be Messiah.
Yeah.
So that puts it all in one bit. God is going to bless his people spiritually as well as materially. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So he's given you, because look at that verse again, I've lost my place of course. He's given you, because it could mean autumn rains, but it's a teacher. A teacher in righteousness. He sends you abundant showers, both autumn and spring rains, as before. He's blessed you spiritually, but he's also going to bless you materially. You need the autumn and the spring rains. You're aware that in Israel there are two seasons of rain.
Yeah,
the autumn rains are for sowing.
Yeah.
The spring rains fatten up the stuff before harvest.
Is that the latter?
That's the latter rains, yes.
Yeah.
Former rains, the latter rains, yeah. Or spring and autumn. What if it's spring and...
Autumn.
So autumn and spring, yeah. Yeah. So God's providing the land with his blessing. He's providing the people with the blessing. And you can see how good it's going to be. The threshing floors will be filled with grain. Mm. The vats will overflow with new wine and oil.
Mm.
That sounds good, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And if they're going to overflow, that means you've got bumper crops.
Yeah.
That's blessing, brothers and sisters.
Yeah.
God knows how to bless. He's almost talking to nature as if it was a person that could respond.
Yes.
And we read that in the Psalms. It talks about the trees clapping their hands.
Yeah.
And the mountains shouting for joy, sort of thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, so it should.
Yeah.
Oh, but Jesus said, you know, if the people stop praising me, the stones will start shouting out. Yeah. So, yeah. So, abundance, verse 24. Verse 25. I will repay you for the... Oh, no, one more bit before verse 24. I've lost my place now.
Yeah,
I'm on 25.
You said that.
No. It's verse 23. End of verse 23.
Okay.
He will send you abundant showers, both autumn and spring rains, as before. That little word, as before. How it used to be. Or it actually means first.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'll send you this blessing first. Yeah. What's coming first is the promise of Messiah.
Yeah,
and then if you get towards the end of the chapter, he says, and afterwards, after the first, what comes after the first? The Holy Spirit. You got the order right. Well, God knew what he was going to do, you see.
Yeah.
So, as before means as at first, or as a first thing, he's going to send Messiah and the physical blessings, yeah? Now we're on to verse 25. I will repay you for the years that the locusts have eaten. Well, I didn't mean to say they were there for lots of years, but they could have been. But basically, what they've destroyed, God can bring back. Yeah. And then he talks about the different kinds of locusts.
That's a contrast, anyway, isn't it? From the first half of the chapter, which was absolute destruction. Complete destruction.
Yes.
Doom and gloom. And then he gives us everything. And that now is even repaying us for those years.
Yes, but that's grace. I mean, if you repent, get right with God, he wants to bless.
It's lavish.
That's his heart.
But it's like a person being born again.
Yeah.
And the Lord does.
Everything's new.
Yes.
If we're obedient, then all this comes into your life, and your life is abundant.
Yeah.
But when you look back and you think, oh, I wish I'd have done it years ago. The things that you did and regret.
Yeah. Well, we've got these locusts described, you know, the great locust, the young locust, the other locust, and the locust swarm, all those different descriptions of the destructive power of the locust. They're all going, and the Lord's going to repay us. My great army that I sent among you. So God admits or claims he did it. And it, do you know why he did it?
Well, the locusts are carried by the wind, and God's in control. The
control, yes. He got rid of them, yes.
Ultimately, he is in control.
Yeah.
Of the locusts.
That's right, yes. Everything. Yeah. But why did God send the locusts?
To test them, to make them
realize there's something wrong, and behind all that, God sent them because he loves them, and he wants them to come back.
Yeah, he don't want any to perish.
Exactly, yeah. No. Now, how about this? This is after a Wednesday lunch, this. You'll have plenty to eat until you are full.
Does it mean we eat the locusts?
Not necessarily. You can if you wish, but yes. You'll have plenty to eat until you are full. No, he's talking about the vats and the wine and the grain and all this stuff, yeah? And you will praise the name of your God who has worked wonders for you. Mm. Yeah, well, that's what we should do, yeah?
Yes.
The people are blessed and they ought to praise the Lord. Mm. Praise the Lord for your material blessings, that's one. And never again will my people be ashamed. They now know that they are accepted and loved by God. That's pretty good, isn't it? So all bases covered. He's giving them the blessing, yeah? Then you will know that I am in Israel. And the other lovely thing is, the world's going to know it as well. I love that line in David, when he's in the book of Samuel, isn't it? When David's facing Goliath. And Goliath says, come here, you squirt, I'm going to pull your head off and feed you to the birds. And David answers him with words from God, really. He says, you come against me with all this stuff, I come against you in the name of the Lord, and I'm going to feed you to the birds.
Yes.
And today, all the world will know there is a God in Israel.
Yeah.
I've a lot of never again, because what I was in the bar, because I was just thinking of Noah there.
Yeah.
Never again.
Never again will I, yeah. God's gracious.
Look
at the never agains, yeah. Yeah. Alright, then you will know that I am in Israel and that I am the Lord your God and that there is no other. Well, we ought to know that, brothers and sisters, yeah? Never again will my people be ashamed, eh?
Mm-hmm.
And then, last little bit.
It's not in Israel now, is it?
It's not there yet. Mm. It will be. It will be, yeah.
Well, that's where it's going to end up, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
It's getting there. We're getting there, yeah? So, verse 28. And afterwards, remember before?
Yeah.
Messiah came?
Yes.
Right. Afterwards, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Mm. Your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what's happening there then? What's going to happen?
It's the forecast of Pentecost.
This passage never was fulfilled in any small way until the day of Pentecost.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and Peter stands up on the day of Pentecost and says to them, brothers, men and brothers of Israel, this is what was prophesied by the prophet Joel. And afterwards, after Messiah has come, yeah, I will pour out my spirit. And when he uses the word pour, you know what the word pour means?
Plenty.
It's not drips and drabs.
Plenty.
Abundance, yeah? And then he says, on all people. What's different between God giving his spirit in the Old Testament and in the New?
The Jews.
Well, the Jews got the Jews were at Pentecost as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
it's coming on there, yes, yeah.
Many languages and
yeah. Yes,
every,
and all that.
But
it was certain people in the Old Testament, a prophet or a priest or the king. They were touched by the Spirit of God. David had the Spirit, no doubt about it. Yeah. 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 Mostly, I should imagine. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. But in this new phase that God is going to bring in, he says, I'll pour out my spirit on all people. Mine says people, all flesh, all kinds of people. And then we have the list of the kinds of people. Your sons and your daughters, yeah, they're going to prophesy. You prophesy because the Spirit's on you. Yeah. Yeah. Your old men will dream dreams. So it's not a matter of age. The young ones have visions. Mind you, I want to say this. Just because it says the old men dream dreams doesn't mean to say that old men can't have visions.
Yeah.
Yeah? Or they can't prophesy. It's just using different categories to say this blessing is big, in all sorts of ways, and it goes to all kinds of people. Mm. Yeah, mm. Sons, daughters, male, female, old and young. And then verse 29 is the clincher. Even on my servants, both men and women. Well, the word servant is slave. Yeah. And you'll never find a slave anywhere else before this who's been blessed by the Spirit.
No.
Yeah. But now, even the slaves get blessed. And the reason they're blessed is they've now been set free by God. Yeah. And they see all this, and both my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit in those days. Wow. Well, that's when it started, is it? And that was it, was it? That's the end of the gifts of the Spirit?
No.
Pentecost finished it all, did it?
I started it.
Yeah. How do you know it was the start of it? You need to go to Acts chapter 2 for that. But Peter says, it's pulled to the people, crowd, they say, what should we do? He says, repent. Put your faith in Jesus, be baptized, and you will receive the promised Holy Spirit. The promise is for you, and the children, and for all those who are far off, yeah? So God's Spirit is a promise in the new reign of Messiah when the blessings are flowing. Yeah. Right, we're nearly there. Yeah. Verse 30, I will show wonders in the heavens and on the earth, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. Now, we're back to the doom and the gloom bit, aren't we, yeah? They're going to be... It recalls... You come in, Nigel, we'll let you in.
Mm-hmm. It is a bit, yeah.
Right. Well, wheel around quickly so she doesn't get too wet.
Put your hat on.
She starts through.
Put your hat on.
See you, Kath. Bye, love.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Cheers, but I'm going to have a
spelling
period.
Keep
yours
on
that,
please.
Hello.
Okay, bye. Just back to verse 31. The sun darkened, the moon to blood, and
sun will be turned.
Blood and fire and billows of smoke. What happened in Egypt during the plagues? Was there blood?
Yes.
Yes. And at Mount Sinai, what did they see there? Columns of smoke, all the smoke and the fire. It's all sort of harking back to that time of war and judgment and God's dealing with the enemies of his people. Yeah. And that's what's going to happen there. All of this stuff happening before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord.
Mm,
yeah.
A
dreadful day.
Black moon still, don't we?
Yes, yeah, yes. Still, but in the New Testament, we see that these aren't just sort of picture language. It's really going to be like that. Yeah.
There
are going to be things happening in the heavenlies and on earth that are totally catastrophic.
Yeah.
Yeah. Peter, just read it. I call it his H-bomb chapter. If you read 2 Peter chapter 3, I think it is, the day of the Lord. Yeah. He talks about verse 10.
Yeah.
The day of the Lord will come like a thief, and he means a thief to those who aren't ready.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. The heavens will disappear with a roar, the elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it will be laid bare.
Wow.
Yeah? And carry on. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. That day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat. Yeah. So, this final, ultimate... last day of the Lord, you could say, is when what this is prophesying, this great catastrophe of judgment and so on for the world, this trouble. But he says this, but everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Now,
I thought you were saved.
For the first time, the first time in reading this, I think I've realized what Joel is talking about. He's not so much talking about you being saved now. But you are, if you believe in the Lord, yeah? Yeah? But being saved then, at the judgment.
Ah.
Yes? He says all this is going to come down on the world, but for those who call on the name of the Lord, who call on him now.
They're called in fear and everything.
Well, that would be too late for them, but yeah. But now we're calling for those who call on the name of the Lord, they will be saved.
Yeah.
Yeah? In other words, you're saved now, of course.
Mm-hmm. Right? You're saved again.
But when it comes to having to face this catastrophe at the end of the world, you're okay. Because
praise the Lord.
You're in the Lord, yeah? Those who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. Paul says this about calling on the... What does it mean to call on the Lord?
Well, to recognise him.
To accept him, to believe in him. Let me just show you, it's in Romans 10, and I've nearly finished here, Romans 10.
When he comes, you can call on him.
Well, if
the last, the last.
You can try, but it's sort of leaving it to the last minute. I mean, the thief on the cross did the last minute repentance.
Yeah.
I do not recommend it. It's not a good idea. But yeah, but there will be those saved at the last minute. Just make sure it's not me and you. Romans 10. Yes, all right. Yeah, very good. Romans 10, and what did I say? Verse 13. Yes, yeah. He's quoting Joel there, yeah? Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one they've not believed in? And how can they believe in the one they've not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? Yeah. So he's saying, you call on the name of the Lord now, and you will be delivered. I mean, the word's delivered rather than saved in that sense. You will be delivered from the judgments that are coming on the wicked world. Yeah? That's good, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Now how can they preach unless they are sent?
Yes. God, yeah, I know, yes. Yeah. You got sent, didn't you?
Yeah.
Good. That's good.
But there's no judgment to the people of God, is there?
Well, there isn't, because judgment has passed. It's been on. He was at the cross.
Yes.
Yeah. Last little bit then. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So that means to call on the name of the Lord means to believe him.
Yeah.
To trust him. Yeah. Yeah? Right. For on Mount Zion in Jerusalem there will be deliverance. That's where the final battle is going to be, and that's who's going to win. Yes. As the Lord has said, among the survivors, there will be deliverance, as the Lord has said. He said it, it's going to happen. Yeah. Among the survivors whom the Lord calls. Who's going to survive? The believing people. Yes. Remnants are believers. Or believers are remnants, or whatever way around you want it.
Yeah.
Keep believing, keep trusting, because whatever happens to this world, with its crazy ways,
we're accepted,
we're in by the grace of God. And just remember, you know, if you've been blessed, God wants you to get somebody to go with you. Share it, you know, best you can anyway. And just like Joel, you say, you know, God may be judging you for your wicked ways, you know, you may be paying the consequences of what you've done wrong, but I'm telling you this, you turn to him, you repent, and you might just well find he can restore the years the locust has eaten. I rest my case. We'll go to chapter 3, God willing, next time.
We've done it.
Let's pray. Oh, Father, it's thrilling to be able to know we're safe in the mighty arms of our Saviour Jesus. Lord, and no credit to us, all glory to your name. We're foolish, sinful creatures, Lord. And unless you had spoken into our lives and our hearts, we'd be as blind and as darkened as the rest. Oh Lord, help us to be those that share this light and this hope, Lord. Even as reluctant Jonah went to Nineveh and they said, who knows, maybe. Well Lord, there's no maybes about it when you're concerned. Lord, you're willing to forgive all that seek your face and turn from their sin. We bless you, Lord Jesus. You said you know wise who you'll cast out any that come to you. We bless you for that. We thank you for the promised Spirit. And Lord, may we not sort of leave him in the category of the past, Lord, that somehow it all happened then. Lord, you're able to fill us and to give us your enabling, your visions and dreams, and your working in our hearts, Lord, in these days in which we live. These are the days of the King. Lord, we know the reign is coming in its full glory, Lord, ultimately, but this is the day when Jesus is on the throne, all the same. And so we ask, Lord, send forth your Spirit. And help us to be able to show and to declare to the world and the people around about us, there is a God in heaven, a God who hears and answers prayer, a God who's coming back to the land, Lord, and to stand on the earth, and Lord, the earth will be filled with the glory of God as the waters cover the sea. We bless your name, Lord, and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.